It's a joy. This is a real joy for me. I can't tell you what a joy this is to introduce Alex and Gail to you. I'm not going to try and talk too much. They favoured that I interviewed them. I was going to just let them loose, you know, just see what they do. But just very quick back up, because there's huge long testimony behind all this. But I guess it's not quite 2 years ago that we first met, and it was in Milton Keynes at a conference for Bethel Sozo. There's Steph and Shell are going to come to this year. Whoa, that's risky, isn't it? Going to a conference like that. And I just saw this lovely couple across the room, 500 or so people there, wasn't it, roughly? And the Lord said, go and speak to those two people. And the rest, as they say, is kind of history. And we just found just amazing connections and things. But so, yeah, guys, so, where are you? Tell us a little bit, where are you from and what you do?
My name's Alex. It's my wife, Gail. So, thank you. A bit of background. So, I was originally born in Hong Kong. I moved to the UK when I was about 7 years old, down to Devon. And as of 2 years ago, I was living in Bristol. And currently, I'm in Sutton, up in Surrey, at my mother-in-law's. So, a bit more about my background. So I used to do automotive, so cars. So that's kind of my background. I was dealing with cars, lots of cars. So I've always worked by the port, by the sea. Yeah, a bit about me. Hobby-wise, I'm into sea fishing. So I'm not sure if anybody's here into sea fishing.
Hello, I'm Gail, and I'm also born in Hong Kong. I came to England around 16 to study, and I used to work in an architectural firm, and then we got married 5 years ago, and after we got married, I started studying theology in Mandarin, which is not my mother tongue. I speak Cantonese. So, yeah. And
yeah, it's been an interesting journey. So I came to Christ in 2012. How it all came about was in 2011, I went to a wedding at HTV, and that's where the very first time I met Gail. Actually, I was given a photograph a couple of years ago, a picture of us. She was in the kind of background, and I was in the foreground. And I didn't realise, but we were captured together long ago, and it was that evening at the banquet I started trying to pursue her. So when I mean trying to pursue her, I was like, I was not a non-believer at the time. So Gail had her ways. There was something inside her that I found really, really attractive, and I couldn't describe it, but I was pursuing her. So what was happening? I was living in Bristol. I was driving up to London every week. So that's okay, I'll carry on the story, because I was pursuing her and she was rejecting me. Like, I felt like she was rejecting me, because she just said, there's two places you can see me, either on my Friday night fellowship or Sunday at church. And I thought, well, this is quite challenging, because I had to get up about 5 a.m. on a Sunday to travel all the way to London. But
because my church started at 9:30 in the morning in central London.
So I made up my mind. I said, right, I'm going to try this. I'm going to carry on going, until about 4 months later, somebody from Bristol, actually, from the Bristol Fellowship that I somehow got connected with, said, would you like to go to a Easter conference? And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. So I asked Gail, I said, oh, this Easter conference is like almost like 4 days, like over 5 days. Yeah, it was like a really long conference. Oh, I found it long. I said it was like, I said to her, is that normal?
I just say, yeah, it's good.
yeah, and at that time, I didn't know what was going on, but something was going on. I went, and when I went, I heard God spoke to me. I heard Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this voice of God was said, yeah, I had a stone in my hand, I had a pebble, and I read a scripture, and I had the stone in my hand, and had my eyes closed, and that's when the Lord spoke to me. He said, you need to forgive that person. And I didn't know what was going on. And I wanted to throw this pebble on the floor, but I couldn't. I wanted to open my eyes, and I couldn't. And I felt immense emotion. And the Lord said, you need to forgive now. And I said, okay, I forgive my mum. There's been some challenges, there were some relational problems. And that moment when I forgave my mum, my whole world was different. I wanted to open my eyes, but I just wanted not to. I wanted to throw the stone on the floor, but I felt like I don't want to do this anymore. And when I did open my eyes, everything was fresh. My breathing, my eyesight. I felt so renewed. I felt like I was a different person. And during ministry time that Sunday, the minister said, who wants to give... Who in here want to give your life to the Lord? And I was at a conference with about 300 people. Most of them were between 16 and 21. So, yeah, I was a few years older than them. And, there was just so much in me. I just put my hand up, and I still remember the minister said, amen. And during my conversion prayer, this is where my life was completely turned around. So you probably can't tell by appearance, but I've been a long-term drinker for about 10 years plus, like very regularly, probably every day, exceptionally a lot on a Friday and a Saturday. Probably from my appearance, from my talking, probably just from my outlook, you think, you don't appear to be. But I had a long-term culture. So I actually started playing rugby when I was quite young with all my friends down the local rugby club. I think it sounds quite typical, but I actually ended up drinking with them every Friday, every Saturday. And by the time I got my first job, I have a bit of income, I carried on doing it. I just went to the pub every night. Like, pub was home for me. It was weird not to be down the pub. And what happened was Jesus came. He took away my habit. Just when I said, yes, Lord, I give everything to you, every part of me, my body, my soul, my spirit. It was in that moment, gone. My hunger for drinking was gone. I tried it about a week later, and it tasted awful. It actually tasted really, really foul. And that is how I came to the Lord. He just turned me around. So I was actually, I would probably say, a bit of a secret drinker to Gail when I was pursuing her. And I don't think she knew I was drinking that much, because I was in Bristol and she was in London. Do you want to just share a bit more? You were going to... At the Easter conference? Yeah, so when I gave my life to the Lord, I drove up to London and I wanted to tell Gail face to face. And it was at that point where she, I don't know, how...
I was about to tell him not to contact me again, because even beforehand I was telling him I'm not looking for a relationship. So when he came to see me, he was like, started to cry and saying, oh, what? How come God only found me 30 years later? And he was keep crying. I was really shocked, because he is a guy that he would never cry. He would never show his weakness. So I was really shocked by his reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, and something happened at that point spiritually. So I felt like I was down here and she was up here. And something happened. The Lord just called and beckoned me. He said, come, come. So I didn't know what was going on. So I was really eager, very hungry. to find out who Jesus was. And there was a point where I kind of like put Gail to the side. I ended up pursuing Jesus. I was just pursuing God. I was like running after him, and I didn't know what was going on, and to the point that I even went to Israel within 6 months. Something was going on, and the hunger just built and built and built and built. And yeah, thank you, Ian. Thank you for the church inviting us here today. So what's been going on? So this hunger for God has taken us all the way to America. Last year, we both finished our work and we went to ministry school. So we went to BSSM, Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in California. And yeah, it's been a journey.
That was really interesting because when God called us there, we don't even know that church. It was through some book, some YouTube, like something very random. And we just keep hearing God speaking to us. So when we look back, we realize everything is from the same church. So we go online, we look for the church, and we found that there's a school in there. So we realize God is calling us to that school. But back then, we don't even have money to go. We were thinking, why is that? And why is it America? Why is it so far away? And what is this? We have so many, like 1,000 questions to ask. But God just keep pointing at that place. So Alex have been really brave because his job needs 3 months notice. And he was saying, oh, when God's called, we just need to act on it. So 3 months before we have to go, he just make this decision to go and see his boss and tell him that he's quitting his job. But on that day, he was in his boss' office. His boss was really happy seeing him and so joyful. Oh, so now you're coming because you know the good news. And Alex was thinking, oh, what good news? And actually, the company already lined up a promotion for him like 2 weeks ago, but he didn't know. So he was quite shocked.
Yeah, and so there I was in his office saying, oh, you've been promoted, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And I already knew I've made up my mind. There's no turning back. So I said, no, thank you very much, shook his hand, I'm moving on to a new venture. So Gail and I departed to ministry school. And, yeah?
Yeah, so he when he quit his job, we still have no money to go and we don't know what to do, because if there's nothing happening in these 3 months, we're going to get, like, because we have no income, we'll get kicked out from the house. We don't know where to go, we don't know like what to do. So it was quite panic through that time, but God have been so faithful. I think 1 month before we need to go, money start coming in, it was so random. It's some people that we haven't met for a long time, money from a church that we have never been. Like, there's so many ways that God is like moving. So 1 month before we need to go, we got our ticket, and on the day we go on the plane, we still don't have enough money to live through the 9 months. So yeah, so that was quite a big thing for us in our marriage.
So yeah, I just want to just encourage you, if you pray and dream big, pursue the Lord, and yeah, his word is alive. A testimony. So during our time at ministry school, so I've been praying for a long time for my body to have a complete healing. I was in a car crash about 16 years ago, and it affected kind of the right-hand side of my body, my lower back, and it's kind of caused me to have a a slight limp, awkward walk. It happened. It's just aching. And during my time at school, I was praying, and it happened actually a minister, not from the school, a visiting pastor from Texas. He came along, and I was at my lowest kind of fatigue. I was quite weak. I was quite ill during those few days, but I still made my way to school. And that morning, I was sat at the back. Quite unusual. I normally sit in the middle and quite close to the front. And Gail witnessed it, and there was about other people witnessed it as well. So I said to him, my back is throbbing. I've had this lower back pain for a long time. And he looked at me and he said, throbbing is about to come out now. And the minister laid hands on me, and I felt the Holy Spirit just came, and I was on the ground, and he ministered to me, not just through word, but through an action. So he grabbed my leg, this leg, he moved it up to my chest, he pulled it out, and I was pretty much moving around the floor like a fish. And the room was in shock. The room was like, this is violent. This is like, he's gonna pull his leg out. He's going to rip a ligament. All I remember hearing was my wife and some school friends just giggling. I didn't quite know why they were giggling, but I was in discomfort. But then something happened. I felt a sensation from my body. And I was just lying there for the next, I don't know. You know when you lie down on the floor for a minute, it feels like eternity? That's what it felt like. I probably was on the floor for, I don't know, 3-4 minutes, but it felt like forever. This sensation ran from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And when I got up, it was still tingling. And this was manifesting for a few days. And then this discomfort just disappeared by the power of God. I completely surrendered. I said, Lord, you've got to heal me. And I surrendered when he ministered to me. So I just say, just have through faith, the Lord wants to heal, especially pain. And I actually have a word for, I'm going to be brave. Is anybody called Irene in here? Or have any link to anybody who was Irene? Or a place called Plymouth? Your friend's called Irene. Okay. She in the medical field? Was she ever been in? Is a counsellor? Okay. Yeah, it may be a word for you or for her. I just want to release it because I feel like healing is coming for Irene, for the people around her, especially discomfort. There's going to be a move of God in her life, and there's going to be a spirit of reconciliation. I just want to pray that over you in Jesus' name. Okay. During our time at ministry school, we were blessed to be able to go to our ministry trip. Gail and I, we're from Hong Kong originally. We had the opportunity to go to Japan. We went to the northern island called Hokkaido. Evangelism.
Yeah. Oh, it was quite interesting because when we went, it's like minus 20 degrees. It was so cold that it's so unexpected. So we did a lot of street evangelizing that is fun and cold. But something that really touches us is when we went to the church in Hokkaido, people are so on fire. We can really see their passion with Jesus. And what do you want to say? Oh yeah, one day we were street evangelizing. It's actually quite difficult because people are keep like walking like this, like they're trying to avoid you. So it would have been really difficult to try to give out leaflets, and we didn't able to start speaking to them. So Alex suddenly come up with an idea. He just thought, oh, we need to talk to the taxi driver. So we walk along, we find a really long queue of taxi. So we start speaking to them, and we have got one translator. So we talk to each taxi driver. It was really, really interesting because we talking to him, and we talking to the driver, we kind of give him some word about how God see them. We didn't mention God, but like how God see them, and give them the leaflet, and doors start opening. Taxi driver, that was what was you were speaking something to them, isn't it?
Yeah. So Gail and I and the translator, we were walking down a particular taxi rank. It wasn't the one in front of the train station where we were dropped off. I felt like compelled to not disturb their business. So we crossed the road and we literally turned around the corner and there was, I don't know, 20 to 30 taxis all lined up, ready to move from here to the train station. So they were in a big long queue. We just came along and we honoured and spoke to every single taxi driver. And yeah, we just felt there was a call to call out the Father of the land, and that there's been a real mystical fatherless generation going on in the land we were in, very much inspired by technology, by phone. Like everybody would just literally have their head down. And it's very cultural as well, where if someone's older than you or senior than you, they tend to dip their head and they literally say yes to everything before the sentence finish. They go, hey, hey. And it was really confusing for us because normally when we hold a conversation, you hold it eye to eye. So we felt the Lord prompting us to honor the fathers of the land. So we went to the taxi rank and we spoke to every taxi driver through our interpreter. She was quite shy. She was about 20. She said, oh, we don't generally don't speak to the men here like this. I said, just, it's okay. Let me speak to him and you just do the translation. And so we gave respect. We honoured them. How did we honour them? We just thanked them for representing their city, for representing their nation. Because we're in quite a famous place called Otaru. It's quite a famous seaside place, so even though it's minus 20, it was people who were still flocking there, just visiting. There was something going on as we were handing them out the evangelism leaflet. The leaflet had a saxophone on it. One of the taxi drivers just grabbed it. He's a saxophone. I played a saxophone. Well, we're inviting them to a gospel night, and we said, yes, please bring your family and your friends. Because we were stepping into a culture where the family man was kind of like, he was a director kind of guy. If you're the man of the household, your words have a lot of meaning. So yeah, I just spoke into his life. I said, well, you play the music. There's a guy who's playing saxophone. Come along. And we were doing this taxi after taxi until we got to maybe, I don't know, the 20th taxi. Something happened. The guy took extra interest. He wanted not just the one leaflet we were giving out. He wanted a wad of leaflet. He said, I'm going to put this in my taxi and I will give it to every customer that's going to get on board. And the Lord opened the way. He opened the door to just his word being spread. And then the taxi driver next to him wanted more. He wanted to do the same. So unknowingly, we were recruiting. We were recruiting people in the streets of Japan. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like us to share?
Yeah. So that was a mission trip. And I think in sense of, there's quite a number of you in this church who you may not recognize or know it, but you are evangelists. I mean, I'm looking at Caroline straight down the line. But Caroline's not the only one who has a heart for evangelism. Dave is often out on the streets and stuff. But the core of this church is about sharing the gospel. We've been a mission-sending church, and in years past, and impacted nations. And here we're hearing about a place that traditionally would be marked as a difficult place to share the gospel. So it took a bit of persistence, going down the taxi rank and going where, oh, nobody's receiving this, but suddenly God opens a door and does something. So I sense there's an importation of boldness and persistence that you need to start receiving, even as Gail and Alex are sharing, that actually you might think it looks hard, you might think it looks difficult, but keep going and watch God do it. And I think it's just such fun, isn't it, that the Lord starts recruiting the taxi drivers then to carry on the work. I just think that's really amazing. So in terms of getting to Japan, you already told us you had no money. That doesn't come cheap either, going to Japan. So over the last year, you started saying you had no money, and but money came in. So you were rolling in money by now. So when it comes to the mission trip, you've just got loads of money. It's fine, isn't it? Is that right? Is that right? We're just ready to go. We've got all the airfares you need. What happens? How much money has come in over the year?
I think both of us, we need $3,500, is it? Yeah, for both of our mission trip. And we were quite shocked by the price. Yeah, so I just thought, okay, I'm not sure how to do it. So somebody encouraged us to, okay, why don't you put it on Facebook? I was thinking, nobody put this on Facebook. And I just thought it would never work. But she was really encouraged and just said, let's just try and see what God will do. I was just, okay, I will just at least do this step. If it doesn't work, that's mean maybe, I don't know. So we try, and I still remember the day before, there's still nothing happened. Like, we have got 3 deadlines. So we come up to the first deadline, nothing happened, we have no money. And the day before, we were in a coffee shop doing homework. And before we leave, we found one cent on the floor. And we just thought, oh no, this is the first cent that God was paying for, like, towards our mission trip. So we just thought, okay, we're just believing God is going to provide for what we need, because this is what He promised. So that night, I was looking at the coin. I never looked at any coins before. So I looked at the coin we pick up, and it was saying, "In God we trust." So I was, whoa, I was so shocked. God is speaking to me. So so the day after, I don't know what happened, but our first deadline just paid in full by, like, different people. And we were really shocked. So after that, we the 1 cent we have, we gave it to our friend that he have no money, and he is struggling to, he's going to Colombia, but he have nothing. So we gave this 1 cent to him. At the end, his mission trip also got paid off, and both of our mission trip got paid off. And God was telling me, He said, because you believe me in the smallest amount, that's why He will fill up the cup. And I was so shocked by what He's doing, and it has been so amazing.
So, did you get that? Did you get that? Everybody wants that cent now. I've seen Canon Andrew White do this with a dollar. With a dollar. Yeah. And watch that dollar multiply to thousands. But did you get that? It wasn't, we need $7,000, there's a cent on the floor. What use is a cent? No, you pick it up and say, thank you, God. And on it, it says, "In God we trust." Amazing. So they're thankful for, it's less than a penny, come on. It's less than a penny. This is a big dent in $7,000, isn't it? It's a big dent. No, Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because they saw it as God saying, I'm in this. But I love this. I love the fact you passed that on. And that became seed faith to somebody else. There's a verse in the Bible that says, do not despise the small beginnings. And if you give thanks for something that's small, God will come through for the rest. So he came through, and your trip was paid off. But you must have ended up in massive debt at the end of the school then. No? Yeah?
Go ahead.
About the Japan mission trip, because we are ready for the California weather, like 30, 40 degrees. So we didn't really prepare for the minus 20 degree. But and I think 2 or 3 weeks before we need to go to Japan, a lady in San Francisco just contacted us. Like, we don't know her at all, but it's, I think it's a friend of a friend. She contacted us and say, oh, I have lots of winter clothes that I want to, like, she want to donate. And she know that we are going to Japan, so she want to give it to us. So we went. We end up in a in a huge house in San Francisco. It's probably the most expensive land in San Francisco. And she have got like this bag and bags of clothes, and there are so many winter clothes. And we took it back to school, so we have winter clothes for Japan. And we even gave out to like all our friends that who is going to winter kind of weather place. So God didn't only provide money, but he also provided like things we need to wear. We need to keep warm in that cold weather. So he is so faithful, and he is so in detail. He don't only provide some of it, but he provide everything we need. Yeah.
So the faithfulness of God in the small things is really great, and he's seen them through. So that's it. We watched their graduation. We watched it live. It's awesome. How many students are there?
2,500.
2,500. Can you imagine what it's like watching 2,500 students graduate? We waited ages to see these couples. I think they were in the end of the queue, not quite, almost the end of the queue. And there they are. It's just great. So 2,500 students. Crazy. What do all these people want to go there for? I mean, they're talking about a heat wave in France. Yesterday it was 40-something degrees. That's every day in Reading in the summer. That's normal. It's normal. It's over 40 degrees. Why on earth do you want to go to this place? So what is it when you're there? Give me one or two things that you felt that there's something that you found there that was just like unique, that was just special. Or even a testimony, something
that's happened. I think we are just in the process of seeking God. There is kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but there's a fragrance that wherever gods are, there's a fragrance. So we just see so much fragrance coming out from that place. We just thought, oh, we want to see God. If we need to travel to see God, then we will travel. So we end up being in...
Yeah. Yeah, so this fragrance, this aroma Gail's talking about, is from God himself. And all he wanted was our yes and our obedience. And somehow the yes and the obedience preceded provisions. He just wanted all of us. He wanted all of our heart. And, yeah, when we got there, it was all about Jesus. And something that really, really impacted us, me, marriage, it's got to be worship. Our worship to the Lord. Our time alone with Jesus. Our interaction, our prayer with Jesus. That is where it's cultivated, our alone time with Jesus. And yeah, we really learn how to carve out time, carve out space in our busy work life to actually listen and hear from the Lord and to share this journey with others. And fellowshipping with one another is vital to journey along.
I also want to share a picture, because while we're worship, I was seeing like we are on the grass, like these are all grass, and it's like Father was saying this is beyond these four walls. It's like continuous, and he was saying people here in this church is like wildfire flowers. Is wildflowers have something special is they are strong, they are tough into any weather, they are still growing and beautiful. And so I was really shocked by the picture, because this place must have been gone through so much and it's still here, and God's love is still here with it's like when you guys go out, you are bringing something into the community, and this is the passion is so strong and the love is so strong. So I just want to bless this church, continue flowering, continue blossoming. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm going to pray for us in a minute. And it's just so a year in BSSM. Lots of provision. I mean, we could probably go on telling stories and testimonies, bouncing off each other for a long time, because we introduced them to people. I said, when we met them, when we were over there, so where's your accommodation? And it was like, oh, well, we'd introduce them to somebody in Bristol, and that was worked out their accommodation. Oh, where's the car? Well, that came from somewhere. Just the provision of God constantly was just amazing. And we were able to take them in places in Reading they'd never been to, and they've been living there. That's just amazing. Pizza, West Side Pizza. And it just... So we were just enjoying sharing. But you're going back. You're going to do another year. And I was reading, they sent a prayer letter out. And I got to the bottom of the prayer letter, and it's they're lovely smiley faces are all over this. It's lovely. It's just a nice little prayer letter. And actually, they'd be willing to send you their prayer letter if you give them an email address if you want to keep in touch with them, I'm sure. Yes? Yes. They're kind of nodding. But it got right to the end, and I thought, okay, and then I started doing the Psalms in my head, and I thought, oh yeah, that's probably about it. So, they're getting ready to go back. How many weeks before you go?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. So you're looking forward to camp in 5 weeks. In 6 weeks, they're going to go, and they're going to try and see lots of people. Nat's just texted me, wants to get you guys up as well in London. And it says, we currently have a shortfall of, this is pounds as well, not dollars, 30,000. Not three, 30,000 pounds. They're smiling about this. They're smiling about this. Why are they smiling? Because they found a scent on the floor that spoke of the provision of God. Is God going to do it again? There's a testimony of people saying yes. They're in agreement. God's going to do it again. Why would God do it again? Because he loves them. Can't you see it? Madeline, I showed Madeline a photograph of these guys yesterday. What did you say when you saw Alex? They have a high anointing. It shines off them. That's why we picked them out across a room of 500 people. God's got something. They looked like cats caught in lights when we spoke to them and said, God wants you to go to Bethel or wherever we said to them. And they were like, what's this? Because they were still figuring out what that was all about. But their trip has been so exciting. Just incredible connections, incredible provision. And they're not daunted by the fact there's just huge sum of money. But actually, when you think about the travel cost, needing accommodation over there, they're not allowed to work in America, by the way. They can't do that. The visa won't allow them to work, so they can't work their way there. And of course, they've only been here for a few weeks, so they haven't been able to get, you know, flipping burgers in McDonald's to earn £30,000 over the next few weeks. That isn't going to happen. They've just managed to just get around, catch up with family, and with your church in London, and with folks in Bristol and various places around. And they're going back. It's a good day to go to the embassy, wait, get the visas. I remember that one. That was last week, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And they're sending me a message. We're going in now. So we're on it. We're praying. And then a bit later, get a message. We've got the visas. It's great. God's in it. So the Lord wants them there. Isn't that amazing? It's a very different thought, isn't it? So they've given up their jobs. You've got a house still in Bristol, is that right?
Yes, small apartment.
Yeah, a small apartment. They've got accommodation that you've just let that for the time being. That just about covers the cost of keeping the apartment there, doesn't it? It doesn't give them a big fat income. So it just means they've got an apartment one day maybe to come back to, if that's what God does with you. But they're giving up their jobs. They're giving up everything else. Why? Because They want to catch Jesus. They want to find the passion in their heart. They want to say, this is everything to us. And they've pursued that. What, we've got to go to the other side of the world to find you, God? No, because he's here, but Gil and I went through this moment. God, if you're God, you can do it here. You can be here. And the Lord said, yeah, but I want you to go there. And that's what he said to them. And he may say to some of you, I want you to go somewhere. It might be not far away or whatever. But are you willing to say the yes, the big yes? And I tell you, these guys are a joy to us. I can't tell you how much joy they bring us just every time I see their pictures or we connect with them, because the favour of God is on them in an incredible way. And that's been testimony, and through the whole school at Bethel, things have happened that just show. And I know he's got great things for them here at the point when he brings them back, if that's what he does, ultimately bring them back. Because already connecting with the work in Bristol and in London and so on. But there's just amazing goodness of God in what he has for these guys. So I just want to ask either one or both of them to just pray over us and impart a blessing on us out of the testimony that you guys have had of a faithful God. So, and then with this we're going to close.
Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for this church, for this fellowship. There's just so much grace in here among each and every single one of you. I just pray a blessing in your life, that you burn for Jesus. You burn. You have this zeal, this spirit in you. I just say a breath of wind come upon each and every single of you right now. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
If you see the love God gave us and how much he provides for us, and I think the good news is this is not only for us, this is for every one of us. So what you see on us is also on you. And Father was saying, don't wait until the provision. He was asking us to step out on the water first, then he will provide. So listen to him, and he will speak in your life. I pray that you will have, like, his voice will be so clear to you. And I pray for boldness on stepping out onto the water, because there are so much. In that step, it provides so much. You will see his love, you will see his joy, you will see his provision all over you.
Yeah, I just pray unity in each and every one of you, in your family, in your unity in church and fellowship with one another. I just see a healthy church, and yeah, this is just amazing to see the youth coming through as they grow up, and yeah, this is an amazing, healthy church. And I just want to bless you. And I just want to impart this faith, impart this provision, impart the healing I got, that every single one of you coming to Jesus, he wants to heal your heart, heal any discomfort, any affliction, any infirmity. Yeah, Jesus is all about Jesus. And he loves you. He loves each and every single one of you. So yeah, we just want to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Gail and Alex. So we're going to close at that point. But if it's touched your heart and you want to give them a hug and get some impartation or ask them to pray for you, that's fine. We're going to go for lunch with them after and spend a bit of time with them. It's going to be nice and I'll enjoy that. But we've got a bit of time, so if you do want to talk to them, ask them a question or just get them to pray for you, pray with you, whatever, then do take time to do that. I'm sure they're willing. I'm speaking on their behalf.
Yeah, please, yes.